Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Contributor for Chiefs on SI, of course. Appreciate him also filling in for a couple days when Cody and I were out. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Thinking of insurance, I don't know if they'll like you driving in on a snowblower or a snowmobile. I don't know if how that'll work as well. Briscoe, have you ever been on a snowmobile?
No, I haven't, but I got two words for you, fellas. Business expense.
Yeah. Your boss he said get in safely.
Get here. He said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and read between the lines. I heard him say, get here no matter what,
that's right.
Whatever the cost. The money is no object. Be here on Monday. And so I hear you guys saying, yep, boss signed off on a snowmobile, and I feel like Cody and Gold deserves one as a show. Get that thing wrapped. Get the decals on there. Yeah. Get the two, baby.
Perfect. Dude, getting it wrapped would be incredible.
Yeah.
First off, the idea of like me putting in the expense system, like a $6,400 snowmobile, I'm like, Cody, whoa, what is this expense you're trying to get approved through the company for $6,400? I'm like, it's the station snowmobile. It belongs to the, you know.
There's actually a clause. It's set up in the system on the expense. You put that in, it automatically terminates your employment, actually, is what it does. Yeah.
It'd be worth trying, though. If I was like, God, why can't this job, Briscoe, would be so much more fun if I were just like unfairly rich, just like had hundreds
Cody,
of millions
would.
Of dollars, and you could do stuff like that, like trying to see if you could expense a snowmobile.
This is the secret, man. They don't want you to know this. Everything's more fun if you're filthy rich. You can do everything bigger, better, with more free time or more, eventful trips or whatever. Everything's more fun with a bunch of money. They say money can't buy happiness. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it might be. Also, what might buy happiness is the continuation of getting a better roster if you're the Chiefs.
Woo!
Jalen Watson's going to practice today, and they are still two and a day or two away from even having to play a football game in Kansas City. So I am to assume that Jalen Watson has a pretty good chance of being available by the divisional round game, right?
Sounds like it to me. I was just as surprised as anybody this morning to see that news because Andy Reid said on Monday that it would be like a pretty big stretch for Watson to return at any point. I really interpreted that, and maybe Andy just hadn't like gotten the new doctor report. Maybe he was lying, which he's allowed to do and does frequently at press conferences. But I really took that as like, yeah, you know, if everything goes well, maybe he could be back out there kind of doing the Jerick McKinnon thing of like, we'll try to get him up to speed right before the Super Bowl. Maybe we get him out there. But I thought, you know, at that point, there's too much, as much as I've said, I'm not worried about rust for the guys who are resting. There's too much rust on a player who missed 10, 12 weeks or whatever it would end up being and was doing it off an ankle injury that he has to get his cardio back and all of that. So even, you know, seeing a clip of him out there running around or whatever, I really did not expect him to end up back in a meaningful role, like in a full-time, you're back to being the number two corner role. I just thought they were going to run out of time there. And it seems now like he's probably going to be starting in the divisional round. Plenty of time to ramp up and practice if he is, in fact, starting today. I think it's an enormous, enormous deal that I would have been talking about much more if I thought there was any chance of it actually happening the way that it has.
Yeah, it was very quiet. Yeah, I mean, nobody officially ruled him out, but it was just quiet. We all just kind of assumed. Do you mentioned divisional round game. I understand the timeline. It definitely is in play. Like, how confident are you that that happens? Because I still wonder if we don't get to a point where he's pretty limited for that game and it's more AFC title game if they get there.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he only gets a little bit of a workload there, being his first, you know, actual game back. I think they're going to try really hard to get him on the field for that game. It wouldn't surprise me, really, if he doesn't even start, or certainly if he starts and then only gets a smaller workload. It would make a ton of sense. Remember that last preseason game this year, he was out there into the fourth quarter, and he was getting dunked on.
Yeah.
And then he showed up in week one and was playing lockdown corner. So he may need to get a few of those hot reps to begin to feel that out. You obviously can't have him out there costing you a playoff game, and maybe he'll come back smoother than I'm giving him credit for. I just keep thinking back to his turnaround after a really, really difficult preseason game and then an incredible start to the regular season. So no, I am definitely not like locking him in at 100% health right now. I do think all of this still bears watching. Again, the practice window is a 21-day thing that's just now opening up, so I think they're expecting to have him active before that, back on the active roster, but I'm not going to assume that he immediately gets 100% of the snaps in the divisional round. It sounds like there's a chance. I'm willing to feel this one out because this is already better news than I thought they'd get on him.
I think we've probably forgotten it a little bit because Aminihue covered some of it. The offense started playing better, so we just kind of forgot about it. But there was like a month straight when the secondary was the single biggest concern on this team.
Yep.
They were getting picked on when Jalen Watson went down. They had one of the league's worst pass defenses during that stretch, seemingly, as maybe a direct result of him being gone. Like, it's easy to forget, right? But it was a huge absence when he was gone.
Enormous. We were having the conversation at the time, and I still could make an argument for either side, I think. We were having the discussion at the time of what would be better. Like, if you could just magic wand cure one injury here, you either get Rashee Rice or Jalen Watson back. I remember tweeting that out and getting pretty close to 50-50 in terms of the responses, and I still kind of vacillate between the two because I think, again, there's a good argument on both sides. But what we've seen in these last couple of weeks, they have gone to more Joshua Williams. Chris Roland Wallace, I think, may be playing better in the slot right now than Shamari Connor had been for at least some of those worst chunks of the season. Obviously, Connor out with a concussion and he should be back now, but the group coming together and kind of finding a little bit of an opportunity to gel, I think Spags figuring out maybe some situational ways to use guys, and to your point, Aminihue is huge. But they've figured out ways to patch things up. That's really good. That's really valuable. But if Jalen Watson is back out there, if he looks like himself, if he's playing pretty much his usual workload, at least by the championship game, presuming they get there, which we will do, that is an enormous, enormous boost, because suddenly the blitzes don't have to be as frequent, which means they can be more exotic and a little more pick your poison type of stuff. That the pass rush does have more time to get home, which was one of the reasons they were successful even without Chris Jones against the Steelers. So it's just a snowballing thing of great news, because when we were talking about this back in week six or whatever it was kind of losing a Jenga block that brought a lot of the defense back down. Now they've rebuilt a lot of that tower and Watson's coming back. I don't want to undersell it. I think it's massive.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. He's our Chiefs contributor for Chiefs on SI. I know 2 weeks ago or so when we talked to you last, we were discussing the left tackle position, and at that point I think we were both on the same page of, hey, I want to see GJ Humphries get one more game, that they still probably are at their best when he's the left tackle and Joe Tooney's left guard. I said yesterday, I don't know how anybody can feel that's the case still based off of what Tooney's looked like, and also we still haven't seen a full game from DJ Humphries, and the playoffs are right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of two minds on it. The one that I can definitely still pick up is that I do still absolutely believe that the best offensive line is DJ Humphries at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard.
Right.
Which is partially that you'll replace a fine backup guard, although PFF has hated Mike Caliendo in the last 3 weeks. You can always, you can use that for as much or as little as you want, I guess. But they've hated him. Joe Tooney's the best guard in football. So, that is one downgrade. And I think Joe Tooney has been good, and he has been stable at left tackle, which is like a huge compliment for a guard, and it's something the Chiefs have not gotten from that tackle position. But I do think that DJ Humphries, who I'd like to see play on Sunday, I think he's one of the only guys who I think should play on Sunday, who should also potentially play in the playoffs. I'd like to see Humphries out there to get moving a little bit, but I still think that the Humphries-Tooney guard tackle combo is the highest ceiling and highest floor group. But it's incredible to know that if DJ Humphries can't go or doesn't look very good, that you have an actual option. I believe they can win a Super Bowl with Joe Tooney at left tackle. I think the best case scenario is Humphries, Tooney, tackle, guard, but I think they can do it with Tooney, Caliendo, and I'm not sure they could have done it with Morris and Tooney, and certainly not with Suamataia and Tooney.
Based on the way that they're talking about it, I feel like the Chiefs must feel the same way, right? It seems pretty clear they want to see if Humphries can do it still.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think we know that even by the order of operations here, that Tooney moving to tackle was such a desperation type of heave. I think it was plan D, ultimately, kind of considering all the guys they wanted to take over that role. An interesting thing, this was as heard on Monday's edition of Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. I was talking to Ryan Tracy of RGR Football, and he has a background in the physiological side of all of it as from a training perspective. Plus, he knows football better than almost anybody else. He knows the Chiefs better than, so I say all that to say that I really, really trust his opinion in a way that I may maybe only extend to 5 or 10 people in the space. And he said he actually doesn't even really care if Humphries plays on Sunday, because that hamstring issue is a soft tissue injury, and that more time there might actually be the best possible thing to extend that break. So I'll be really curious to see if the Chiefs want to see him get a little bit of work, a lot of work, or if Humphries practices this whole week and he doesn't play on Sunday. I think that's your answer all over again, that the Chiefs are actually just holding him out because they want him to play tackle. But a few different paths of that over these next couple of days would not surprise me.
What about on Sunday just against the Broncos? We know the Chiefs don't have anything to play for seating-wise or anything. The Broncos have everything to play for. Carson Wentz, I mean, do you agree that if he goes out there and plays well, that he could end up being a starting quarterback, or at least in a competition next year for some team based off of what we saw in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I kind of do. I think, you know, as you kind of put there, it's like starting with an asterisk. Like, I think that's probably his path at this point. If you're a Raiders team that wants to draft somebody and have a stabilizing force, you try to sell Carson Wentz. No, the Raiders would not be the team to do this, at least not with their current staff. But you try to sell Carson Wentz on the Sam Darnold position, the Baker Mayfield reclamation. I think those little cycles of former high picks, Jared Goff almost to a different level, really, but those cycles of former high picks exiting, particularly in free agency, finding a home for themselves, performing well, and then getting another contract off the back of that, I think that's a real path that teams are probably a little more open to, where retread isn't such a pejorative as it often is. So I think if you're going to have Wentz and some younger quarterback, and maybe it's not somebody selected 1, 2, or 3 overall, but maybe it's one of those second round guys, or even, again, like what the plan was in New England with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett, and what it would have been in Minnesota if J.J. McCarthy had stayed healthy. I think there's a real chance that he does that. I think he could be in line to do that anyway, but going out and having like a real game on Sunday, I think could absolutely impact his market, which is crazy because this game means nothing to the rest of the team, but it means a lot to a lot of guys individually.
Pacheco look okay to you? Like, I mean, other than the rib injury, but he just doesn't look like the same Isaiah Pacheco yet.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is him getting back to himself, and I wonder how much of that is us getting more acclimated to the offense without him. I think it's been nice to see Kareem Hunt's vision and be able to see him maximize, well, not always maximize what's there, but get enough of what's there and typically hit the right hole. It makes Pacheco seem like more of a contrast in a lot of ways, but it would also not surprise me if, you know, he is still working back from the fact that he broke his ankle and is working back in a way that maybe getting his feet under him is still a little bit of a process. I think, as it's good for everybody, it's certainly good for every running back, getting him a long break off the ribs and kind of a little, I don't know, an interlude in his recovery. He had to recover, get back, play some games, and then get another time off, and then come back and play again. I think it's as good of a setup as you could ask for him. But no, I'm kind of with you, and I think maybe the shine is coming off that apple a little bit, because I think Kareem Hunt, in a lot of ways, has been this team's best running back this year.
All right, I'm going to have you. We did this earlier, so I want you to rank them. I'm going to give you 4 target options for the Chiefs, and you tell me in order of importance, 1 through 4, where they rank as the most important target guys for the Chiefs in the postseason. Not where they rank so far this year. Kelce, Worthy, Hopkins, and Hollywood.
Oh, man, what a blessing that that's a terribly difficult question.
It is, and like we didn't even get to like 5 or 6, which includes like Noah Gray or Juju Smith-Schuster, because those are the 4. But
no, you're right. Those are the 4. I think, after having been very, I would have probably been opposed to this in season, but I might put Worthy at 4. I think his growth has been out of necessity a lot, but he's going to get his shots, but it doesn't need to be a lot of targets necessarily.
He's had a lot of targets lately.
Yeah, no, and that's been a very promising thing. But if I'm thinking about how they're going to get used and how they should get used going into the playoffs, I might go, I don't know, I might go DeAndre Hopkins four, and like he's just going to get.
I had
like,
him four.
He's going to have four chain moving catches and a touchdown every week. And it's like, all right, yeah, no, he's DeAndre Hopkins, but he'll have the few. Let's do that then. Let's go Hopkins, Worthy, Hollywood, Kelsey.
I like that we all had Kelsey. That's the funniest thing in the stabilizing
factor. It's the playoff time.
We all had Kelsey.
Yeah, it honestly felt bad saying it out loud because I think the regular season order, or if you were starting a new season with those four guys, would be very different. But yeah, you're going to give me Travis Kelce fresh off a month of rest in the playoffs. Yeah, he's going to get 10 targets a game. I mean, absolutely. Why wouldn't he? Even though there are like you can happily give out 35 targets to that group, which is awesome because so much of this season was like, all right, so how many times do we need to throw the ball to Justin Watson?
Do you load up from the grocery store for the weekend storms, or what's the plan for you?
I haven't yet. I had a thing on Saturday. I'll just tell you what it was, and I'm not going to like dox them. But we got invited to a murder mystery party on Saturday, and I'm afraid now that it's more of like a Mario Kart simulator. It's like, hey, either go home or get some banana peels for the road. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's happening now. I think we're relatively well stocked. We've got a couple of leftovers that'll get us through a couple more days here, and then I think it's just frozen pizzas until the road's clear. And if that's not by Monday, I'll buy a snowmobile. I'm going to bill at the spec, and I'm going to get there for the show on Monday night.
He said, "Get here by any means necessary." You know,
maybe this is the time I get a helicopter. I like that idea still too.
There you go, Joshua Briscoe joining us as he does each
does
and every
Joe
Friday.
Joe Briscoe still have the Batmobile. I need
that's,
it.
That's true. It's not in yet, though. Briscoe, it's not in yet.
He's got a year.
Yeah, it's on back order or on order or something. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I won't be in on Monday.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Go.